morning and welcome to St. Luke's Church. Thank you for gathering with us today to make Eucharist.
Please join us in singing hymn number 412 as found in your bulletin or the blue hymnal.
Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
Lord, he is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, whose blessed Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of bread, open the eyes of our faith that we may behold him in all his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Saul, still the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for him for letters to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, but get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen a vision of a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him, so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard many things about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days, he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." The word of the Lord. A reading from the book of Revelation. I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads, and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice. Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered, to receive power, and wealth, and wisdom, and might, and honor, and glory, and blessing. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under earth and in the sea and all that is in them singing. To the one seated on the throne, to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. The word of the Lord.
Let us attend to the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, We will go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, Children, you have no fish, have you? They answered him, No. He said to them, Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. Then Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord. He put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, Come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, Who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus had appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my lambs. A second time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to them, Follow me. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
As religious people, we believe in transformation. We believe that part of the life of faith is transformation. And we may believe or have moments of significant, all of a sudden, transformation. And we certainly have longer, gentler, ongoing moments of times of transformation. We believe in transformation. But to think about what transformation entails is not something that we always do. Consider, if you will, Saul, who is undoubtedly thinking of himself as a defender of the faith. And he encounters Jesus, who says, "Why do you persecute me?" And I'm sure that hearing the word persecute applied to him was painful. Sometimes transitions and transformation are painful. That's the way it is sometimes. And sometimes we're devoted to defending something that we need to let go of. That's part of transformation too. So Saul is, confronted by Jesus, knocked off his horse, made blind, and sent to hang out for a few days. That's a hard part of transformation. The hanging out part, the waiting part, the reflecting part. Sometimes a part of transformation, indeed I would say all the time, a part of transformation is waiting and reflecting. Waiting for the new thing to take shape in our lives. Waiting for the transition to be over, the change to be done. Paul has to hang out for a while. And then he gets to see. And then he has to hang out some more and learn a little bit. And then he starts to proclaim. And it is interesting that what happens to Saul is a set of opposites. He starts out as the true defender of the Jews. And he meets Jesus. And he becomes the sharer of Christ with the Gentiles. Talk about a change. The complete opposite. Because sometimes that's what transformation does, is it really changes us in a dramatic way. But sometimes it's more gradual than that. Not all transformations are that way. The disciples have seen Jesus twice since Easter morning. The first time he appears, they see him that evening, and they haven't seen him now. It's been 3 weeks. And in that waiting time that often comes after a transformation starts, that time of waiting and reflecting, that time when you're not quite sure what to do with yourself, they decide to try to go backwards. They were all fisher folk before Jesus called them, and they try to go back to that. Peter says, "I'm going fishing." The others say, "We'll go too." But it doesn't work to try to go back to your old life. Once a transformation starts, you can't go back. It doesn't work. And so they go out on their boats and they fish all night and they catch nothing. And someone appears on the shore. They don't recognize him probably because they were 100 yards off. And he hollers out to them, "You haven't caught anything, have you?" "Gee, thanks for pointing that out, dude." Right? And then he says, throw the net on the other side of the boat. Now, there's a statement that makes no sense. Under the boat, it's all one lake. What's that about? And yet they do it. I think because a part of them felt that it was Jesus. But they didn't know it consciously. So they throw the net on the other side of the boat, and the net is full of fish, and they bring it in, and in the miraculous haul of fish, I love that little line, 153 of them, having barely ever caught one fish, 153 is pretty amazing. So they race into shore, and Jesus feeds them breakfast. They know him in the meal, which we're meant to think of Eucharist. And as they know him in the meal, he talks to them. He feeds them and talks to them. And then he turns to Peter. And three times he asks Peter, "Do you love me?" And those three times give Peter the marvelous opportunity to undo the three times he denied him. So he gives Peter this opportunity to recover from his denials. Gives him the opportunity to say, "I love you. You know I love you." Three times. That's beautiful in and of itself. But then there's another thing that's beautiful about that part of the story, is that Jesus says to him, "Okay, so here's what you do while you wait for me to return. Feed, tend, feed." That's a fascinating direction. And remember, the Gospels were written down, as I've told you before, when people who had actually seen Jesus walking around in the flesh were starting to die. And the church was writing out the stories that they told, and people were collecting them and ordering them to make certain theological assertions about who Jesus is. And so one of the things that they're realizing is, we're going to wait a while till he gets back. I think early on they thought it would be next week. And they realized they had to wait. And so hearing Jesus say, "Feed and tend people," is a direction for waiting. It's a direction for that time in transformation when we have to wait and reflect and sit. During that time, we're invited to feed and tend God's people, not only because it's good for us in terms of caring for those who are in need to feed and tend them, but also the very act of feeding changes us. It's the way we work on the transformation that's happening in our lives. Feeding and tending others. It's what you do in a transformation. I think when I was reflecting on all of this and thinking about it, it made me think of the story of Noah. And the reason that it made me think of Noah is because that the story of Noah in Genesis is a story of sort of a divine reboot of humanity. God decides to sort of start all over again with Noah and his family as a faithful remnant. So they have to learn to be this new humanity that God is starting. They have to be transformed. And God puts them in that boat, and it rains 40 days and 40 nights, but then they're, you know, you got to wait for all that water to go away. And so ultimately they're in the boat for a year. And there's nothing for them to do in that boat for a year but feed and tend the animals. To make a new creation, to make a new humanity, God puts them in a year-long school of nurturing, of feeding and tending. And we know that that's kind of what's going on, because at the end, when it comes time to figure out if they can get out of the boat or not, what does Noah do? He releases birds and watches their natural behavior. Do they come back? Do they come back with a branch? He watches the birds because that's what he's been doing for a year. He's watching the animals and feeding them and tending them. Because God has put Noah and his family in a year-long school of nurturing to help create a transformation in them and in humanity. So when Jesus says, when you're in the midst of a transition and it feels like it's going slowly and you're waiting on me to show up and you're waiting for the transformation to be done and you want to get on with it, be a little still and feed and tend people. That's the best way for you to work on the transformation that's going on in your life. Feed and tend my people. It's a fascinating direction with a long biblical history. And because we are in transition all the time, we're continually being renewed and transformed by the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, it suits us to practice feeding and tending. It's the Easter season, and you've heard me make jokes about Easter is 50 days of church-sanctioned partying. And as fun as it is to say that, the point is it really is 50 days of feasting. And that the feasting is not just the church having a good time, it's actually a spiritual discipline. It is the one that goes hand in hand with the fasting and the giving up in Lent. And we easily forget that. But it's Easter. And this is the last Sunday that we'll hear actual resurrection stories. And you'll see after today, the tomb, empty tomb will go away, but we'll continue in the Easter season. We'll continue until Pentecost, and we'll hear stories about things that Jesus said and taught that help us think about living the resurrection life. And we'll wait for Pentecost, the festal conclusion of the Easter season, to get here. And this year we're going to have lots of baptisms at Pentecost. It's going to be an exciting day. And what are we supposed to do while we wait for Pentecost to get here? We're supposed to feast and feed others. Feed and tend my sheep, says Jesus. That's how you wait. That's how you work on transformation. That's the direction that gives rise to Easter as a time of feasting and celebration that lasts for 50 days. So the challenge that the day presents to us, the challenge that these readings present to us, is to go out and really keep Easter, to feast, to celebrate, to invite in friends and neighbors and strangers and others to feast with us, to feed and tend ourselves and others as God's people, and to know that is not just a work of indulgence, but that's actually a part of how God does transformations in our lives. By feasting and tending and celebrating.
As you are able, please stand and join me in proclaiming our faith, which covers the earth and spans the ages, by reciting the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
the Father, the maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified and Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
All-prevailing God, your unconquerable love is manifest in the resurrection of Christ.
Mary Magdalene in the garden, help us to cherish our world as the greenhouse of life, caring for our environment and all people as ones for whom Christ lived, died, and rose.
Help us, O God, to be the good news of the risen one.
Care gently for all people, living
along your way. The risen one appeared to the disciples in the locked room of their fears. Help the nations of the world and all in authority to be gentle and respectful with people's hopes and anxieties. We pray for Donald, our president, Gretchen, our governor, and the mayors of Kalamazoo, Portage, and surrounding communities. We pray for all who serve in our armed forces, especially Courtney, Joe, Kristen, Nathan, Sarah, Andrew, Stephen.
Help us, O God, to be the good news of the risen one.
The risen one appeared by the sea. We remember before you those who rejoice with us, but upon another shore and in a greater light, especially Josh, Jody.
Help us, O God, to be the good news of the risen one.
The risen one was known by the good works he had done. We pray for the mission and ministry of St. Luke's Church, asking you to call forth new leaders, new workers, and fresh vitality.
Help us, O God, to be the good news of the risen one.
The risen one was known by the commandment to love one another. We pray for all who are sick, suffering, or addicted, especially Lydia, Sophia, Marilyn, Virginia, Judy, Teresa, Judy, Pam, Diane.
Help us, O God, to be the good news of the risen one.
The risen one was known by the sending of the Advocate. We pray for the Spirit to empower the worldwide Anglican Communion. Michael, our bishop, Wayne, our bishop, Randall, our priest, Greg, our deacon, and Michael and Frankie in formation for holy orders. We also pray for those celebrating birthdays, Rosemary, Ed, Ava, Lena, David, Michael, Angela, Violet, Marjorie, Carly, Carrie, Brian, Alice, Carl, Norma, William, Aurelia. Those celebrating wedding anniversaries, Jennifer and Brian, Lucy and Randy. And those celebrating baptismal anniversaries, Amy, Joyce, Madeline, DeForest, Charles.
Help us, O God, to be the good news of the risen one.
Listening to the Spirit's guidance, speaking in the Spirit's power, living hopefully along your way.
Gracious and loving God, for no merit on our part, you have brought us out of death into life, out of sorrow into joy. Put no end to your gifts. Fulfill your marvelous acts in us, and grant to us who have been justified by faith the strength to persevere in that faith. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. The Lord redeems your life from the grave and crowns you with mercy and loving kindness.
Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. But chiefly are we bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the true Paschal Lamb who was sacrificed for us and has taken away the sin of the world. By his death he has destroyed death, and by his rising to life again, he has won for us everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me."
Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom.
All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to sing.
Hallelujah. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, ask us to be in peace.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please be seated.
The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work according to his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us forever. Amen.
Go forth in the name of Christ. Alleluia. Alleluia.